Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website, c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
It is good to be with you this morning. Hey, why don't you high five somebody, tell them this changes everything. This changes everything, and please be seated. We want to welcome you this morning. So glad to have you in the room. You made it through the rain. Well done. It is crazy out there. Who likes the rain? Okay, yeah, I like the rain, Jackie. The rain is cool. Not all the time. Ari likes the rain. And who's excited for winter? Who are like the winter people? Boo! Jace, love it. Yeah, summer is over. That is clear. And we're here and we're going to embrace winter. And how amazing is Elise Aird? Oh my gosh. Everybody, come on everybody, put your hands together for Elise. We love you. I love your story. That's why we do what we do. And we would have done all this just for her. Just for one. We value the one around here. We believe in reaching the thousands, but we care deeply about the one. And we just had Connect Week, and so we have connect groups, and community really is where your life begins to embrace the change that God has for you. And doing what God wants to do in you on your own is not realistic. It's a nice thought that it's me and Jesus. But the thing you got to know about Jesus is the head of the church, and the church is the body. And so he never designed it to be just you and him. He designed it to be you and him and us and them and different ethnicities and different backgrounds and different age groups. Everything Jesus did was to a group. He wasn't just talking to one person. He was leading 12. Jesus, it's not about you and I, it's about us. And so if you want to realistically see the work of God in your life, you've got to be planted in community. And so I want to encourage you, we have connect groups. These are life-giving connect groups, Jesus-centered connect groups, a small group of people where you can take the mask off. You can stop pretending. You ever felt like you're pretending sometimes? It's all right, you don't have to put your hand up, I'll do it for you. I mean, isn't that a breath of fresh air when you can talk about real life? You have 4 kids, 3 kids, that's real life. And a Sunday in worship, yeah, praise Jesus. By the end, you got to go to work tomorrow. And your boss might suck. You know, God bless your boss. God bless all bosses. But you might have some real life. Anybody got some real life? We got real life to work through. And so Sunday is a catalyst to help you be reminded of God, be reminded of the truth, be reminded of his presence. But then you need to be in community where you're texting each other and saying, hey, praying for you this week. A group of people that you can say, hey, I'm going through something. Can you pray? Hey, I got a challenge. Can you pray? And so community to us is not an additional extra in church. It is the church. It is the body. It is us. Amen. Move on, preacher. All right. Okay. I'm excited about it. Hey, we have Easter. Everyone knows Easter. And so we don't want to trip over Easter this year. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. So who likes old school invitations? You know? And people are like, I don't want to be old school. No, old school is cool, man. And so we have these flyers for you. And our very own Tawella, the face of Easter. She is amazing. And so we want to let you know that we have these at the back of the service at our Next Step Lounge. If you have some people you want to use this to invite, we would love to host your family and friends this Easter. We have a Good Friday 9 a.m. service. It'll be a communion service. And then we have a Sunday Easter Resurrection Sunday. It's going to be crazy. And we got the kids, youth, families. We're going to have an amazing time. So if you would like a bunch of these, like if you want to take 100, please feel free. Well, you just take them. Don't sell them on eBay or something, but go and put them in people's letterboxes. Take them to work. If it helps you to invite somebody to say, hey, here's a physical thing, we'd love to empower you, equip you with those. So feel free as we get ready for Easter. So This changes everything. And now in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you got to know that that is a big claim. That is a bold statement. And God is not saying that Jesus is an option. He's saying he's the way. If you are looking for God, go no further than Jesus. Jesus is the door to God. He is the way. He is the way. And if he is the way, we don't believe that you should add him to your life. We believe actually you should restructure, reprioritize, rearrange everything in your world to make him center. Because if he is center, you will find the way. If Jesus is at the center of your life, there will always be a way out of every situation. Now I'm preaching to somebody here today. If you are looking for a way out, the way out is not another relationship. The way out is not another church. The way out is not another friendship circle. The way out and the way in to what God has for you is Jesus. Bring the way into a wall and it'll make a door. You got some financial problems? Bring the way into the wall. He will open a door for you. There will always be a way if you bring Jesus. Not if you're perfect, not if you got everything in order, but if you have Jesus, there will always be a way. He is the way and the life and the truth. And so today I want to talk about how his redemption changes everything. We've looked at how his reconciliation changes everything, his righteousness changes everything, and his redemption changes everything. We are preaching the gospel around here unapologetically. We believe in the power of Jesus, that he died to set you free from sin, to set you free from evil. And so we're going to talk about it. His redemption changes everything. Can you turn to Ephesians 1, verse 7? Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And he is reminding them of the gospel and reminding them of the truth. And in verse 7, he says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Where is redemption? It is in him. Through what? His blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Lord, we thank you for your redemption. And we thank you that we are the redeemed. All those, Lord, who put their faith in you, we are redeemed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. They all said, amen. Band, you may go. Band, you may go as well. Come on, give it up for the band, everybody. They do an amazing job. While you're there, give it up for the production team. We love you guys. We got a few leaks in here. It's been an interesting morning getting ready, but God is with us. So the thing about the work of Jesus and the work of the cross and the work of redemption is that you only will have a use for redemption if you need to be redeemed. You only have context for a savior if you need saving. And I worry that sometimes in the world we live in and sometimes in the context of church culture, sometimes we have missed the power of sin. Because if we do not realize that there is right and wrong, if we do not realize that sin does have an effect on our lives, if we do not realize the power of sin, we will never understand the importance of the cross. And we will skip over what Jesus did because we don't realize our need. But it's not until you realize how much you need something that it suddenly has an application in your life. Ari, God bless you. We're competing here. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. So to know the need for what Jesus has done, I actually have to be confronted with my sin, with my wrong. And because God is a just God, and because God is a God of justice and a God who is love, out of his love, he is just. And he will judge right and wrong because he is just. I mean, who wants a God that's just going to turn a blind eye to all the injustices that have happened in history? Not our God. God is a just God. And the great day of his return will come. And it will be a day of judgment, and it will be a great day. A great day of restoration and glorification of the church of Jesus Christ. That day will come. But for God to be just, there must be right and wrong. Okay. You're doing all right? Okay. So let's just say I joined the welcome team. Who loves a welcome team? You know, you come in the pouring rain and they're still smiling at you. You know, you had a bad day and they're just laughing and high-fiving you. It's the best. Imagine if I was on the welcome team and as you walked in, I said, welcome, and then punched you in the face. Right, Henry? Like, that would be bad if I did that. You would not like that. It probably wouldn't hurt my friend Henry because he is a unit. But anyway, if I punched you in the face, you would not say, oh, thank you. That's so good to be here. Thank you for punching me in the face. It's awesome. You wouldn't. You would say, hey, that is wrong. Why did you punch me in the face? Because you know that it is wrong. And I know that is wrong. And right and wrong is actually written on the hearts of humanity because we are made in the image of God. We are drawn to justice and we are aware of evil and we understand it. And therefore, God's just judgment must be a real thing. But the beauty of it is that we are not left on our lonesome to be redeemed. Actually, we have a God who came and took our place. And this is the beauty of redemption. This is the beauty of the gospel story because my sin gets me stuck. But Jesus came to set me free. You know, like fish. You ever been fishing? Yeah. No. Love fishing. I suck at fishing. But if you ever go fishing, what you realize is that there's bait, right? You with me so far? You're good? There's bait and then there's a hook. And the hook is hidden in the bait. So if you were a fish, if you were, yeah. Someone's like, wow, science. Yeah. If there was, it's not scientific at all. If there was a fish and hidden in the fish is the hook, the fish doesn't see the hook. I mean, that's the whole point. That's the fisherman's ploy. Give him the bait, but hide the hook. And this is what sin is like for the human soul. The enemy will give you the bait, but he'll hide the hook. He'll give you something that looks good, tastes good, feels good, but inside it is a hidden hook that is going to get you stuck. Yeah. Hebrews 12 tells us that we should throw off every burden and the sin that easily entangles. Your soul can be so entangled because of sin. And Jesus came to disentangle your soul from the effects of sin. But you cannot get set free from what you do not realize is there. If you are living in a false sense that I'm fine, then we need to encounter the truth that without Jesus, we are not fine. Without God, we will face the judgment of God. Without Jesus, we are lost and we are dead in our sin. We are dead in our regrets. We are stuck in our wrong. But praise be to God that Jesus didn't just send a sacrifice. He came as the sacrifice. Praise be to God, like there is no other religion where God left divinity and became human flesh as God, as the God-man, but as a man and took our place. Nowhere else will you find a savior like Jesus. And here's what's crazy about Jesus. He didn't do this while you were being a good person. We read in Romans that it happened in Romans 5 while we were still sinning, while we were still wrong, While we were still rejecting God, he still came. So this would tell us that Jesus isn't waiting. He's already done what needs to be done. You don't need to wait for God to do what can happen. It's already been done. The cross finished the power of sin. And so Jesus came to redeem us because we needed redemption. We needed forgiveness of our sins. We needed freedom from that which had us enslaved. John 8 verse 34 says, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." You become ensnared and enslaved. But Jesus came not just to fix sin, he came to redeem your position. And this is what I want you to catch this morning, that the work of redemption, the winning work of redemption. Wait, let's come back to here. Come back here, come back here. You know the story of David and Goliath? You know the story? If you haven't, it's about this young guy, David, and then there's a big giant, and the big giant is this ugly dude, and he's 8'20" or whatever, and he's huge, and he's standing over the Israelite army, and David turns up with some sandwiches to give to his brothers, and he's just bringing them lunch. But in the moment, he decides that actually he's not going to just give them lunch, he's going to kill this guy. And so that's always good when you're 15 years old, kill a giant, take some lunch, good on you. So he arrives, and so now he is in this position, and he gets out a sling. He doesn't do it the way you would think. The army were thinking that it would be done a certain way. Every Jew and every Pharisee of the day thought Jesus was going to bring salvation a certain way. They were thinking that, oh, Jesus is here. It means he's going to kill Caesar and he's going to bring a new empire and a new reign. But Jesus didn't do it the way, just like David didn't take out a sword. He got a sling. He got a rock. Jesus did it. And this is what you got to understand is David, you and I, we can learn things from David, but we aren't David. We can learn a lot from David, but we aren't David. Jesus is our David. David is a shadow and type of Christ who delivered a final blow to Goliath, the blow that killed and destroyed the power of sin and death. Goliath represents stronghold and oppression. Hey guys, if we're going to clap, come on church, we're going to clap. Praise Jesus. David is a type of Christ. Gideon is a type of Christ. The whole Old Testament is pointing to the work of redemption that was done on the cross by Jesus. And the thing about the cross is, I know it makes a pretty necklace, but you got to understand the cross is ugly. The cross is terrible. The cross represents a regime that was so cruel that they would crucify. Crucifixion was not a quick death. It was long and terrible and an awful way. It was shameful. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. And our God came and embraced this kind of death so that every one of us who faces shame, if you think you face shame, Jesus has faced another level of shame. If you think you're facing darkness, Jesus has stood in the face of real darkness so heavy that it was destroying his physical body. He was bleeding. He was carrying the weight of sin. It was not a pretty thing. It was terrible. But God, in his great might, in his great strength, he took the weight of sin and he buried it in the ground, and then he rose above it so that you and I could rise above sin and could rise above death and could rise above evil and could rise above wickedness. This is the gospel. You are redeemed if you believe in Jesus. And this is what I want you to understand. Jesus didn't come just to fix the fruit. He came to fix the root. The fruit, hey, amen. The fruit of sin. Behavior, the dumb things you do. Don't act like you don't. I do too. And I'm meant to be the pastor. perfect pastor. No, no, I'm a human, just like you. We're all human. And all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Behavior is the outworking of an identity that has gone wrong. Do you know what? In the world today, people don't have a sin issue. They have an identity issue. People that are living in a way and a situation, that is not the issue. It's about identity. And Jesus didn't come just to fix the behavior. He came to give you a new identity. Praise God. You were once a slave. Now you're a child of God. You were once under an oppressive, ruling, reigning master called sin. You are now under the lordship of a gracious, kind, loving God, our shepherd, Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come just to fix behavior. He came to give you a new identity. And this means that I don't live for redemption. I live from redemption. I don't live for forgiveness. I live from forgiveness. I don't live to be righteous. I live from righteousness. And now from the position of redeemed, that's who I am. Who I am. Come on, just turn to somebody and say, that's who I am. That's who I am. I'm not trying to be redeemed. I am redeemed. If I put my faith in Jesus, I am redeemed. If I put my faith in Jesus, I am righteous. I am clean. I am whole. I am amazing. Because of what he did. And to carry yourself with anything less confident and less sure would be to not honor the cross. It would be to dishonor the gift. You know, if I buy you a gift at Christmas, I might just buy you a gift this year. You don't know. I might buy you a gift for Easter. Who knows? If I buy you a gift and you don't take the gift and apply it to your life and go and use it, if I buy it for you and you don't use it, I will be upset. I bought you the gift. Use it. It's yours. This is what God is echoing through eternity. Hey, everything you need has already been done. You have peace. Use it. And this is where I need to now occupy the position that God has given me. I am redeemed. You might need to say this to yourself a million times a day. I am loved. If you feel unloved, get in there in your mind and start saying, God loves me. God loves me. Because you will find that if your belief changes, your behavior will follow. Some of you have been trying to fix your behavior, but you haven't dealt with the wrong belief. You're trying to fix addiction, but actually what is the problem with the addiction is a projection of who you see yourself to be. You see yourself as an addict. You need to change your identity in Christ as a son and daughter of God who is not enslaved to sin, but free. You need to change the confession about who you are according to who God has made you through the blood of Jesus. So now my behavior starts to reflect my identity. And here's the thing about it. I'm redeemed, being redeemed. I'm healed, being healed. I'm righteous, being made righteous. Don't worry about the lights. Don't worry about the lights. Just watch me. Just watch me. We're all good. We'll do it in the dark if we have to. I'll throw the mic in the bin and I'll just yell the gospel to you. I don't care. Nothing's going to stop us right now. I need your attention. I need your attention. What was I saying? Saying really good. We're redeemed, being redeemed. This is weird. I am righteous, but I'm becoming righteous. I am a child, but I'm trying to get free of that nature that keeps me enslaved to things. So I'm forgiven, but I keep sinning. I'm set free, but I keep going back to old things. This is the dichotomy. This is the situation we are in between justification and glorification. There is a thing in the Bible called sanctification. Oh, this is real Bible teaching. You start at justification, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified by the blood of Jesus, just as if I'd never. Do you know that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your past mistakes? He sees a clean, washed, whole, new, made righteous by the blood of Jesus person, just as if you'd never. What are those things that you think about sometimes? Yeah, man, I wish I didn't do that. Man, I wish I could change it. I wish I hadn't said that or thought that or looked at that or been there, gone there. Do you know that if you embrace Christ, when God looks at you, he sees just as if you'd never done that. You are washed and cleansed. But now, one day I will be glorified. The church will be glorified. The body of Christ will be glorified. We will take on eternal bodies and we'll become eternal beings so close to God, it'll be unbelievable. A new heaven and a new earth, glorification one day. But in between what Jesus has done and the destination of the church, we have this process called sanctification. And I'm being sanctified day by day. And I trip up, but I'm still being sanctified. I'm still justified. I'm still righteous, even though I did something unrighteous. But now the work of God is reminding me of who I am in Christ and bringing me back to who I really am and helping me change, not just change my behavior, but change my identity. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus lived, died, rose again, and then ascended into heaven. And we can't skip over the ascension of Christ because that is part of Easter. He ascended. He went, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit exist to do? The Holy Spirit is here for your everyday life. When you wake up in the morning and you're working through stuff, the Holy Spirit is your helper. When you're working through things in your marriage, the Holy Spirit is your helper. And he works and he sanctifies and he cleanses and he renews us and he sets us free on a continuing basis. Just because you stuffed up, don't quit. Let the work of God be completed in your life. Keep turning to the Holy Spirit. Is anybody here like Vegemite? Yeah. Apparently there was a Vegemite contest the other night. Is anyone like Promite? Yeah. Come on. I hate Promite, sorry. But my dad loves Promite. And so me and my dad were always like, Vegemite's better. Promite's awesome. Promite's rubbish. Okay, so come on Zoom. Get out the Vegemite. This will be a live analogy. The other day, Jessen and I, we'd finished eating all the Vegemite because we love it. And my son is going to love Vegemite. And so we're eating Vegemite and we'd finished the container. And I was doing the dishes because that's just what I do, you know? And so I was doing the dishes. And as I was doing the dishes, the Vegemite jar came up and it was ready to be cleaned. And in the Vegemite jar is all the remnants and it's all dry and sticky. It's the remnants of the Vegemite still in there. And you know, like I could have taken it and just chucked it in the recycling bin, you know, but I couldn't. I had to clean it. I was like, no, I got to clean this. I just can't do it. Clean freak. And I had to clean it. So as I was working out how to clean it, I realized, I know what I'll do. I'm just going to fill it up with water. And then I'm going to let it soak. So I filled it up, put it next to the sink, and I left it. I came back in an hour, and that jar that had Vegemite stuck all over it, that would not come, I couldn't get it off. Just from sitting there for an hour, soaking in the water, I took the Vegemite jar, and I tipped it out, and all the old stuck gunk Vegemite remnant that was there, it just poured right out. It just poured right out. This is what the Holy Spirit does in your soul. This is why when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, things that used to stick can't stick anymore. Things that used to be dry and keep you in an old mentality and an old thinking and old lustful ways of seeing people and seeing life and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and all these things that used to get stuck. You're stuck. When you just spend time in the Holy Spirit, he sanctifies you and he washes you. And those things that used to stick can't stay stuck. if you will position your life under the power of the Holy Spirit like a river, He will wash you, cleanse you, and set you free. But you got to do life with Him. You can't leave Him here on a Sunday. You got to take Him into your Monday. And you just got to spend time with the river, the Spirit of God. And you will walk clean and clear and focused, disentangled, free, a child of God.
Thanks for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. We look forward to having you back soon.